first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We start you off with the headlines that you need to know. We've got a champion, even though we don't really have a champion. We sort of have a champion. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, has been declared League One champions after Professional Football League, LPF, in France confirmed that the 2019-20 League One and League Two seasons have been ended. So at this point, we know that we have a champion of sorts. We'll see what that means for the record books moving forward. A little bit of college basketball news. Wake Forest has agreed to a deal with East Tennessee State's Steve Forbes to become the Demon Deacons' next head coach, sources told ESPN. Forbes will be replacing Danny Manning, who was fired on Saturday after six seasons at the helm. Wake Forest never finished above 500 in the ACC under Manning, who had a 14-42 conference record over the past three seasons. Last season, the Deacons went 13-18 overall, 6-14 in the ACC, finishing in a tie for last place in the conference. There'll now be a battle over whether or not the school feels that they have to pay Danny Manning the remainder of his contract, which is a sizable sum. And speaking of people no longer with teams, we have a release today. The quarterback position. The Bengals have released Andy Dalton after drafting Joe Burrow. We all saw that happen a week ago today. Well, Andy Dalton's nine-year run with the Bengals is now over at this point. A week after Joe Burrow was drafted, Dalton was set to earn $17.7 million in the final season of a six-year deal that had paid him $96 million, or was scheduled to pay him a total of $96 million. So there will no longer be Andy Dalton with the Cincinnati Bengals. Keep in mind, though, he does leave the team with some tremendous accolades, not the least of which was leading the Bengals to the playoffs five times. That's right, the Bengals, five times. Let's give Andy Dalton a little love for that. Those are the headlines you need. First take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, you just heard about Andy Dalton, so that leads us to an easy, simple question. Where's Andy Dalton going to end up and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's the best fit? Had the debate this morning a little bit on Golic and Wingo as we tried to look at a few different destinations. Could it be, that he goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars? Could it be that he goes to the Patriots and leads them to the playoffs? What do you see as the best fit for Andy Dalton moving forward? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. We'll get some expertise from Cincinnati in just a few minutes, but we're going to start with Straight Talk. Straight Talk has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G, it's only $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So the question is, who is Andy Dalton at this point? And at this point, is he a better solution for any team, including the Patriots, than, I don't know, one Cam Newton? Ryan Clark joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about Andy Dalton and where he fits in the spectrum of quarterbacks available on the open market.
There is nobody that has ever watched football that has seen Cam Newton healthy and thought that Andy Dalton was a better quarterback than Cam Newton. We can point to system all we want to, the Patriot way, Jared Stidham, and what have you, and the fact that he was there for a year under their belt and all of that stuff. Ryan Clark, you brought this up on Get Up this morning, the few minutes that I had an opportunity to watch it, when you highlighted how Jared Stidham comes in there and he throws a pick six to Jamal Adams of the New York Jets and then immediately got yanked out of there by Bill Belichick. But Josh McDaniels got confidence in him. They think he's improved. Well, none of those are game situations because we haven't seen him throw the ball but about four times on a professional level. So I'm not sold on Stidham yet, obviously. If you want to go the route of Dalton, it would be because he fits more into the Patriot way. But here's my thing. How do we know really there's a Patriot way when it comes to their offense? When you look at Tom Brady and how elite, we got to make a decision as to whether or not he was great or was he not. Because if Tom Brady was great, maybe their success was a product of his greatness on the offensive side of the ball, along with his chemistry, whether it be with Charlie Weiss once upon a time, Bill O'Brien once upon a time, Josh McDaniels for the last decade or so. The bottom line is there's been a multitude of people that Tom Brady has worked with on the offensive side of the ball, and he's been obviously elite. I think a lot, if you're looking at it from that perspective, who has the chance of being elite? I say it would be Cam Newton over Andy Dalton and Jared Stidham.
Yeah, my choice is Cam Newton as well, because I believe if you bring Andy Dalton in at this time in his career, he might not necessarily be that much of an upgrade over Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, who you already have in your quarterback room. But if you bring in Cam Newton, you bring in something different. You bring in a guy who can create on his own, and that's what you needed on this team last year. You didn't have the wide receivers who could create separation initially in their routes. What will Cam Newton give them an opportunity to do? Get into second play situation where they can get in a scramble drill, separate from other defenders. And also now this adds to your run game when you have a guy like James White, when you have a guy like Sony Michel, you add them with Cam Newton and now you can get into some zone read type schemes because you don't necessarily have the talent on the outside. And now, if you think Jarrett Stidham is your guy and that's who you want to go with, I believe you can stand pat there. But if you're going to go out on the free agent market and get you a quarterback, that guy has to be Cam Newton. You have to add something dynamic to this offense. You have to have someone with the confidence to carry you. And also remember, the next guy is replacing the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. That will be immense pressure. Pressure that Cam Newton has had to live up to his whole entire career. He's the guy for this job. I believe that he can handle the coaching. I also think he has something to prove. And when you mix that with what the Patriots do already, which is going to be play great defense, be coached extremely well, and be extremely disciplined, it only helps Cam Newton. And to have Cam Newton would only help that I do think is deficient of Brian, some skilled players. And so if you can do those things and combine those, that makes sense to me.
I think that Cam Newton is going to make a lot of people sorry that they didn't sign him up sooner. Cam Newton, when last seen, was as good or better than he'd ever been. And he was once, as I said, selected, you know, by acclamation. He was the number one player in football. So I do think that there's left, as long as the injury is not a recurring issue, there's going to be plenty left there. He's still relatively young, and people talk about the beating he's taken. That's true. But that'll shorten the shelf life to 35, 36, probably not from 40, which is how quarterbacks play, until quarterbacks play 38, 40 nowadays, to like 31, 32. Okay, fine. Ryan, you make a good point. If you're going to go out looking anyway, how do we know Dalton's even an upgrade over Stidham? We don't. Maybe they're happy with Stidham. Yes. They won't look at either one. But when you look at what Dalton can and can't do, he's not going to get you big chunk plays off of play action, right? Like, that was the issue in Cincinnati. But that's not really the Patriots. Like, what he can do is make quick reads, get the ball out quick on intermediate passes. That is the Patriots. So unless Belichick really goes a completely new way with the way he wants to run his offense, which is possible, it'd be an amazing kind of chameleon act toward the end of his career, Belichick's coaching career. Right. Unless he does that, then Dalton much more fits the type that the Patriots seem to prefer.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. I don't understand what has gone wrong with the entire world when we look at Andy Dalton. I mean, I understand that Andy Dalton is not a spectacular quarterback. I understand he's not a world beater. But we're looking at New England, and we're giving Bill Belichick all of the credit for everything that's ever happened that's good there suddenly, with the benefit of the doubt he gets. And then we're turning around and conversely blaming Andy Dalton for everything that's gone wrong in Cincinnati. Let me remind you, he leaves the Bengals as the all-time leader in passing touchdowns, second in passing yards, most fourth-quarter comebacks and game-winning drives, three Pro Bowl nods for a Bengals quarterback, and he dug him out of the dumpster, five playoff appearances. That's all from Field Yates. Five playoff appearances and three Pro Bowl runs for a quarterback in Cincinnati is something worth writing home about. I understand that Andy Dalton's not spectacular, but for Ryan Clark to imply that Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham would be a better quarterback room than Andy Dalton, that makes no sense. Jarrett Stidham is a fourth-round quarterback. If anybody saw that level of production coming from Jarrett Stidham, he never makes it to the fourth round, because you don't let a three-time Pro Bowl quarterback dip to the fourth round. That's insane. Brian Hoyer couldn't beat out Andy Dalton on the open market for a starting job. If Brian Hoyer was your quarterback room with Jarrett Stidham on any team not named New England, we would surely believe that Andy Dalton was a better quarterback option. I'm not saying saying that we have to turn around and acknowledge that Andy Dalton is greatness in a bottle, but to suddenly turn around and act like he's a liability versus unknown or known quarterbacks that aren't any good is absolutely insulting to what Andy Dalton has accomplished. It's okay to say that he's not great, but let's not make him trash. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, fired up about that. We're presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. You guys can chime in. Where do you think Andy Dalton is going to end up? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get a little insight of the, on this from Cincinnati. Mo Eggert, my buddy from ESPN 1530, joins me. Mo, you just heard me going off about it. Who is Andy Dalton in your mind to most NFL franchises as a quarterback right now?
I love the impassioned defense of Andy Dalton. Where you been for the past 9 years?
I'm watching. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's the interesting part of this. We've known, you know, I've said a couple of times today, we've known this was coming for about a year. I mean, if you kind of watch the way the offseason played out before last season, you know, Andy went into the second to last year of his contract. When the subject was brought up of a contract extension, the owner of the team, Mike Brown, said he has to reestablish himself, which, okay, I get that. I don't disagree. But if he's got to reestablish himself, you got to give him a chance. And the Bengals didn't make their team any better last offseason. Then they lose their left tackle. Then they lose A.J. Green. I think at that point we kind of knew how last season was going to play out, and then we knew what the fallout was going to be, which was the Bengals go in a different direction at quarterback. At the beginning of this offseason, I think you could also see how this was going to end because we were on the verge of this unprecedented amount of quarterback activity involving guys who are either better than Andy Dalton, have more upside than Andy Dalton, are cheaper than Andy Dalton, or that you could acquire without having to trade for Andy Dalton. So the emotionally jarring part of this, you know, this would have been, I think, a little bit different had this been sudden. We've kind of seen this coming for a while. So what's the next best stop for Andy? You know, a lot of people have talked about New England, and I certainly get why Andy is a safe pick. At the same time, for me, the Patriots have always been a team where they wager on talent. They wager on upside. They're willing to set aside any red flags. You know, this is the team that'll take a chance on Antonio Brown. It's a team that'll take a chance on Josh Gordon. It's a team that'll bring somebody. Heck, we've seen it with guys here in Cincinnati that you're like, okay, how is Corey Dillon or Chad Johnson going to affect that locker room? And it turns out that, you know, in some cases, like Corey Dillon, it works out great. Some cases, like Chad Johnson, it doesn't screw up their locker room, but it really doesn't work out all that well. With Andy, you know what you're getting, but you're not getting that much. And frankly, they really haven't addressed their biggest issue in New England, which is guys to throw to. So if Andy goes to New England, we kind of know what that looks like, right? He's going to be fine. He's not going to be great. Their talent's not great. His talent's not great. So there's a part of me that wonders, doesn't it just make more sense to kind of gamble with the unknown? Because maybe with the unknown, there's a little bit more upside. But if it's not New England, you know, does he get a shot in Jacksonville? I've sort of thrown out there that it might make sense if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. What better way to stick it to the Bengals than Dalton backs up Ben Roethlisberger? Are we betting on him playing 16 games? Is Dalton a better option to back him up than Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges or anybody else they have? I tend to think that Andy's going to surface somewhere as a backup. But the New England thing, obviously, until you figure out exactly what their quarterback plan is, I guess has to be something that we all consider and talk about.
We're talking to Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. You mentioned Jacksonville. A lot of people have made a lot of Jay Gruden, now the offensive coordinator there, and obviously was a head coach for the Bengals during Andy Dalton's tenure. So when you look at Jay Gruden specifically, what was their relationship like?
Really, really good. Jay did a nice job with Andy. You know, you remember Andy's first season was the lockout year. So, you know, that environment here was so bad because you had Carson Palmer telling the Bengals, I don't want to play for you anymore. That was the offseason where ESPN, the magazine, ranks him as the worst franchise in sports. They had brought back Marvin Lewis at the end of a disastrous year in 2010. It was chaos here. And they drafted Andy Dalton in round two. That was a pick that a lot of people didn't want them to make because they wanted to take a quarterback in the first round. And then you add to it the basically the non-offseason, the really shortened window to get a rookie quarterback ready, all while the possibility of Carson coming back is looming over everything. And Jay did a really nice job of getting Andy ready to play. He started week one, and they went to the playoffs that year, and Jay was the offensive coordinator for Andy's first three seasons. I tended to think that what they did with Hugh Jackson was a little bit better because Andy had his best year under Hugh, but that's also when they had their best talent. Yeah, Jay Gruden did a nice job here. And certainly if I'm Andy, I'm looking for people that I've worked with before, people that I've looked to have that I've had success with before. Jay Gruden would certainly be on that list, as would Tyler Eifert, who is a tight end who signed with the Jaguars this offseason, who had a great year playing with Andy in 2015. I think that makes a lot of sense just because I feel like if I'm Andy, I'm going to be working with my former offensive coordinator and my competition for the job is Gardner Minshew. I'd feel pretty good about that if I was him.
We're talking to Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Mo, one more for you here. As you look at the landscape that we're in right now in pandemic, and obviously it means there's not as much opportunity for guys to get on the field, and we don't know what the offseason is going to look like. Any surprise given those restrictions that they decided to move on from Andy Dalton instead of just giving him at least the offseason to allow Burrow more time?
No, because of the salary. Andy's number against the cap this year was going to be $17.7 million. And look, there's a lot of good arguments that you can make for Andy being here. And even in a normal offseason, a normal set of circumstances, would he be a willing mentor to Joe Burrow? Absolutely. I don't think anybody who's ever watched Andy Dalton or been around Andy Dalton would deny that. And then you add to it, you know, we don't know what training camp's going to look like. Is there going to be a preseason? Would it be nice to have an insurance policy? Yes. The issue is the $17.5 million. They just have more things to spend that money on. They've got to sign their draft choices. I think they'd like to restructure some contracts. What are they going to do specifically with A.J. Green long-term, Joe Mixon, other players on the roster? So I think if Andy Dalton's salary was half of what it was, there's a decent chance, you know, he would still be here. I think the idea, and some floated it out that, well, you ask Andy to take a pay cut. I don't know who in their right mind would say yes to that. I know if somebody took my job and I got a front row seat for watching them do my job, I'm at least going to want what's owed to me. So that idea was never plausible. But I do think it's going to be interesting. The other quarterbacks on their roster have a combined three starts between them. I do think it'll be interesting as we get closer to figuring out what training camp is going to look like to see if they do bring in a veteran guy. But it had less to do with Andy being a viable option to be a starter in an emergency or a mentor. And I think you love those things. You're just not willing to pay $17.5 million for them.
You can follow him on Twitter at MoEgger1530. Check him out, 1530 ESPN Cincinnati. Mo, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for the insight, my friend.
Anytime, Jason. Thanks.
You know, I'm both sweet and salty about this. If you love Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars, you'll love the new Sweet and Salty Minis. It's all of the indulgent savory goodness you know now in a smaller size. And at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. I want your take on where Andy Dalton's headed. 888-729-3776. Jeremy in Pennsylvania, what's your take on Dalton?
I think people often forget that in 2015, when Andy for that and broke his thumb and A.J. McCarron started the first game of the Super Bowl or the first game of the playoffs there, that he was a legitimate MVP candidate. Andy Dalton was having a very, very good season. He had four straight years. And in general, he had four straight years where he had 10 plus wins as a starter. I'm not trying to sing the praise of Andy Dalton. I'm not saying that the guy was elite or anything like that, but Andy Dalton is a very, very serviceable quarterback. And if you give me a system type team like the Patriots, I'll take Andy Dalton over Cam Newton any day of the week. Cam Newton is not your type of system type quarterback. He's the guy that wants to go out there and make his own plays and be the best athlete on the field. That's not what I personally would think that Bill Belichick would be looking for. He would be looking for a more Andy Dalton type guy, a system type guy that's going to go in there and meld with what they're doing, not with what he wants to do.
Appreciate your take on it. I don't disagree in many ways. I'll say this. I think Cam is a better quarterback. Cam's a more talented player. I think we all know that. The health issue for Cam is the one that makes it difficult, because when you can't check him out, how do you know where he is? Not just with the most recent, but after years of surgery. Maybe I've picked a weird hill to die on as an NFL fan and as somebody that works in this business, and that hill is on, I think the word you used there, Jeremy, was serviceable. Maybe I'm on the hill of defending serviceable quarterbacks. We suddenly take serviceable and we lump that into the category of stink. They're very different things. Serviceable can win you games. Serviceable may need help, but can actually come in, start, and not let your team down. Serviceable in and of itself is a skill. Does it make you Aaron Rodgers? No. And will I ever fault the Bengals for taking the leap on Joe Burrow? No, because Joe Burrow looks like he could have that sort of epic superstar level. I'm not saying that Andy Dalton is a superstar. I'm saying we belittle serviceable to the point that we make serviceable bad. I'm not willing to do that. If you want to see bad quarterback play, there's been plenty of that in the NFL. And I'm sorry, bad quarterback play moving forward doesn't look like what Andy Dalton has been able to do. At some point, although Andy Dalton deserves some blame for where the Bengals are, don't the Bengals as an organization deserve their own blame for where they've gotten themselves in this situation? That's why I continue to look at them as part of the problem and part of why we have to consider that when evaluating Andy Dalton moving forward. I want more of your take. Where's Andy Dalton going to end up and why? 888-SAY-ESPN. You can chime in on Twitter, also at Jason Fitz, or you can call 888-729-3776. We'll get more of your take. Plus, will Aaron Rodgers finish his career somewhere other than Green Bay? One Hall of Famer might have a pretty good idea. And he said yes. You'll hear from him and the First Take crew next. But first, while you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in just 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even with absolutely zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Get the rocket science on what's next for Aaron Rodgers from the First Take crew and a Hall of Famer that knows next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Where's Andy Dalton going to end up and why? I can guarantee you one thing. Over the course of the last 10 hours, nobody has been more fired up about Andy Dalton than I was to start the show. Good Lord. Okay. Fired up about it. I want your take on what's going to happen next for Andy Dalton. Jesse in Cincinnati. Jesse, chime in on Andy Dalton. What's your take?
Yeah, sir. I think he would be a good fit in New England just for the system that they like to run. But if you can't expect too much out of Andy Dalton, unless everything's perfect around him, ever since, you know, we lost Jones and Sanu, and Eifert hasn't been the same, and the defense has fell off, and obviously the franchise hasn't helped him with signing any free agents. You don't go anywhere with him.
Let me stick with me. Don't go away. But let me counter that argument. You just mentioned the offensive line's bad. There's no weapons. The tight end fell off. So what quarterbacks outside of the top, let's say six quarterbacks in the NFL, what quarterbacks do you think could come in and suddenly elevate what Andy Dalton was playing with and make them a playoff team?
So you bring in Cam Newton. I mean, that's somebody you can create on their own. What does Cam have down there in Carolina?
Well, and look, I wouldn't be opposed to the Bengals bringing in somebody like Cam Newton, fine. But my bigger point to this is everything that's been laid out right then, and thanks for your take on it, everything you just laid out about the Bengals is part of the reason that most quarterbacks couldn't win in Cincinnati. There are a handful of quarterbacks that can overcome whatever is around them and win no matter the system and no matter the weapons. There are a handful. Guess what? If your litmus, if your test for your quarterback's ability ranks amongst the Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, you are probably losing that battle. Constantly. Most teams don't have that at quarterback. In fact, most teams are hopeful to get Ryan Tannehill, somebody that can go and get the job done, but still has to be in the right situation, the right elements be around them. And when that happens, suddenly Tannehill goes from being a bust in Miami to being some huge success and getting paid in Tennessee. Why? Because the system was better for him, because he got healthy, and because he had the right pieces around him. Most quarterbacks need help, and a quarterback needing help doesn't mean that they stink. It just means that they're not one of the best five in the league. That's okay. Don't forget, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Can't wait for this one. We're going to get a look behind the curtain of Horace Grant. Always curious about how that went down. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast. Those guys do a spectacular job of giving you even more insight on stuff that you didn't even see on the show. It's a great listen presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We'll keep taking your take. We'll get your take in just a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's next for Andy Dalton? And convince me. If you think I'm wrong on Andy Dalton, convince me. I'm willing to listen to you. In the meantime, he's not the only quarterback in the news as the chatter continues around Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre talked about Aaron Rodgers when he went on the Rich Eisen show on SiriusXM and made it clear that he doesn't believe Rodgers is going to be finishing his career in Green Bay.
I think that you're going to see that trend more and more. And I think Aaron will finish somewhere else. That's my gut. I guarantee you this, and I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there.
I love all of that, by the way. I guarantee you. I can't say for certain, but I guarantee you. And, yeah, there's a chip. There's a chip on his shoulder. The question is, what's it mean moving forward? And, you know, at this point, given the statements by Brett Favre, no one would know better what it's like to have this happen. So Stephen A., Ryan Clark, and Max talked about Favre weighing in on Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think sticking up for Favre here is going against Rodgers. I think Favre has, through experience, better insight into this situation, is more interesting to hear from than anyone else, I don't know, in the world who would understand this better. And I think he's also right. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to finish his career in a Green Bay uniform just as Favre didn't.
Hey, 100%, hell yeah, Brett Favre is the person you call for this. They should have been ringing his phone when the Green Bay Packers Jordan Love. It didn't matter what they did for the rest of the draft. This is it. This is the story. It was the same story when Aaron Rodgers fell to the Green Bay Packers after Alex Smith went number one overall to the San Francisco 49ers. And you don't have to ask a dude about a situation because he did it right. It's almost better to ask him because he did it wrong or because it was perceived as wrong. I want to hear that you were upset. I want to hear that it caused confusion between you and the GM, between you and the head coach, and that you figure he's going to figure his career somewhere else. It also seems like they've had some conversation. And so Brett Favre is the perfect guy. And I don't care if you don't bring up what he did in the past, because it really doesn't matter now. What matters is you were in this position. You have an in-helmet and first-hand perspective of how you felt during this time, how you handle it. You also know the dude very well who is going through it now. So who else would you ask? I mean, the reason that we get former players to be analysts, the reason I get to be an analyst is because y'all want to hear what it was like in the locker room. You want to hear what it was like on the field. What are these experiences and how do these experiences affect you now? Who do they make you? How did you deal with them? Brett Favre could tell us about that more than anybody. And did he stink when he was going through it? Absolutely. Was he a little overrated when he left? Absolutely, which Aaron Rodgers probably will be too. But he can give us a perspective on this that we can't get anywhere else. And shoot, it's just always good to have Hall of Famers talk any dang way.
Well, Ryan Clark, I'm going to forgive you because you were an elite football player who, as far as I'm concerned, has turned into an elite NFL commentator. I don't ever recall the word journalist being on your resume. That would be me, sir. So let me inform you about something here. When you're talking about Brett Favre, let's understand something. And I'm aiming this too at you as well, Max. I never said don't talk to Brett Favre. Let's address the question that was presented. Problem with Favre weighing in. Yes, I'm not saying that I don't want to hear what Brett Favre has to say. I'm saying that while you're asking Brett Favre to weigh in on this particular situation, let's remind the world of why he's so relevant and why he's the perfect. Hold on, Ryan. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you, Ryan Clark, is let's not just ask him the questions about Brett or Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers because he was in that position and he played for that same team. Let's also make sure we bring the relevancy to the equation, because literally the reason why this is a story is because we're all monitoring how is Aaron Rodgers going to act, because the Green Bay Packers drafted his successor when the brother still's got 2 to 3 years left in his career. You didn't get him any help. You drafted him in 2005. You have never drafted another offensive player, a running back, a tight end, a wide receiver in the first round since 2005 when you drafted Aaron Rodgers. So how is he going to react to all of this? Well, Brett Favre would know, because this is what Brett Favre did. That's what I'm saying, Nick.
Which is that Brett Favre played
for Green Bay. It's that Brett Favre was in that position, and this is what he did when he was in that position. It's important to highlight that.
RC, you take...
ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. They're fired up about all things Aaron Rodgers. We're fired up here about all things Andy Dalton. I might be the only show that can say that in the history of radio. So we're going to go with it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's your take on Andy Dalton? Where's he going to end up and why? Patrick in California, what's your take on Dalton?
Yeah, I think Tennessee might be a good landing spot for him. But, I mean, in general, the fact that Cam Newton is on the free agent market also, I think, helps Andy, because there's a number of teams out there that want to upgrade the quarterback position but might not want to spend Cam Newton kind of money. And I think we're all agreed that Cam Newton's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. So you can get Andy Dalton for less money, and I think that is an advantage to him in getting signed by somebody.
I'll take your take on that. I think this, the one pushback is I don't think Cam's going to be looking at anything. And I disagreed with Mike Golic Sr. this morning. By the way, I'm hanging out on Golic and Wingo again tomorrow morning, so be sure to check it out. But I disagreed with Mike Golic this morning. I don't think Cam's going to take a backup opportunity. I don't know that Andy Dalton, other than New England, would have much chance for anything other than a backup opportunity, at least short term. Cam, I don't think, is touching the backup situation. So I wonder if the two are kind of living in different lanes right now. Jonathan in Colorado, what do you got? What's your take on it?
Hey, man, I am a huge Dolphins fan, so I'm super happy that we got Tua. But since he's hurt, I feel like that would be a perfect spot for Andy Dalton to land. He'll be there for a year. He'll get his free agency stock up, and then he has a really big opportunity to go anywhere he kind of wants after that.
Look, I love that. Frankly, Jonathan, I don't know the cap situation off the top of my head, but the Dolphins, I'll look it up. But we all know, obviously, that Ryan Fitzpatrick is there, and they're comfortable with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But let's not get it twisted. I mean, Andy Dalton is a significant upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think that's a hot take. Andy Dalton's a significant upgrade in my mind over Jarrett Stidham. And we all know that that's where the Patriots seem to be locked in at this point. They seem to be locked into Jarrett Stidham. But in a world where we just saw Jameis Winston take $1 million to get to a situation he likes, we have no idea what Andy Dalton's going to want. But if he wants to go somewhere where he can have a starting opportunity, holding down the fort for Miami while Tua gets healthy, if he's not completely healthy, is not the worst situation for him. I think he can look at that as a good spot for him to land. We'll keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Andy Dalton hit the open market. I'm fired up about it. Again, I'll say this loud. I'm not saying that Andy Dalton is an epic quarterback. I'm saying that he's a pretty good quarterback. And being a pretty good quarterback is better than many teams have. So while I understand he's likely to find himself in a backup situation, I don't think it's out of the question to look at some of these quarterbacks around the league and question why, if you're Jacksonville, you're not bringing in somebody like Andy Dalton to compete with Gardner Minshew out of the gate. Are you really willing to give everything over to Gardner Minshew? I mean, you're not even going to look at Andy Dalton. If I'm the Broncos and I've spent all of this capital in the draft on getting great weapons around Drew Lock, is it not worth at least exploring who Andy Dalton is as a quarterback? To me, it is. I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Coming up, if the NBA returns to finish their season, which team benefits the most for the lengthy hiatus? You'll hear what First Take thought next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the first hour of today's show, I got fired up. I'm still fired up. I can't believe I'm saying this sentence. Things I never thought I'd say on radio. Fired up about Andy Dalton. You can go check it all out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate five times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One and a member FDIC. I'm asking you guys to chime in. What's your take? Where's Andy Dalton going to end up and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. We'll take some of your take in just a second. But we continue to hear murmurs out of the NBA. I want you to hear this, because as much as there's a conversation about what the NBA could do, the question is, are we getting closer to a shortened season? And if we are, what team is helped the most by the delay in this NBA season? Stephen A. and Max had interesting answers to that question today.
I think that ultimately the Brooklyn Nets are going to benefit, because, you know, at 30 and 34, as a seventh seed in the Eastern Conference when the season ended, what you're looking at is a situation where the season is a wash to some degree. With everything that has transpired that has caused the suspension of the season or what have you, so many people have lost out on this. But the Brooklyn Nets were still paying Kyrie Irving, still paying Kevin Durant. And when you look at what's going on with them right now, Kevin Durant ultimately will be back healthy. And in all likelihood, we're going to find ourselves having an NBA season that may ultimately be delayed and won't start until December, assuming that there's a postseason in July going into August. I don't think they're going to start the season as they traditionally do in mid to late October. I think it's going to be a bit later than that. That gives Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant even more time to be ready to go for next season, with this season being truncated, with this season being compromised. Even if there was a champion, and it's great to have closure, it's still going to have a huge asterisk next to it because of all that's transpired. And so you move on from here, and moving forward from here, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are both expected to be ready to go. And the Brooklyn Nets will go from a bottom 7 or 8 seed in the Eastern Conference to one of, if not the top seed in the Eastern Conference, the second those two are on the floor together. I think that they benefit tremendously from this.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We'll see what happens next for the NBA as they continue to try and look at ways to stay positive about returning. We all hope that that's what happens. I'm taking your take on what's next for Andy Dalton. Don in Florida, what do you got? What's your take on Dalton? Don, we got you? I don't hear a Don. All right, we're going to continue. I'm not sure if Don is there and I'm not hearing him, or if, in fact, he's not hearing me. Either way, I don't hear Don at this point. So Don's take, though, was for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a take that makes a lot of sense. Mo Egert earlier mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers as an option. I actually like that a lot. AJ in Cincinnati, let's try this again. AJ, what's your take on Andy Dalton?
Hey, what's up, Fitz? Lots of smoke this offseason about Andy and the New England Patriots, so I think there's some fire there. I think that's one thing that he has not had his whole career, is a strong system with little dysfunction. And I think it's something that he would benefit from greatly. You know, not too far removed from Andy being considered for the MVP of the regular season. So the talent's there. He's a great decision maker. I think he checks a lot of the boxes that Belichick's going to be looking for.
Well, and that's a really interesting take when you talk about the talent from Andy Dalton. My only pushback to the Patriots, and thanks for your take on it, I believe that he's better than anybody in the Patriots quarterback room. Let's be clear about that. My only issue for Andy Dalton is, does he have enough weapons there to go in and compete? Because we all know that they don't have a lot of great weapons for what the Patriots are looking to address. That's part of why I continue to look around and think, man, Mo Egert may have talked me into it. If you missed it earlier, he joined us from Cincinnati and mentioned the Steelers out of the gate as a possible place for him to go as a backup. Because let's face it, I've said it loud and proud on this show, I don't see how the Steelers can go into the regular season with one man at quarterback in Ben that had the elbow surgery that we don't know exactly where he is health-wise. So we know that Pittsburgh has tremendous weapons. We know that Pittsburgh's incredibly familiar with Andy Dalton, and he could go into a situation where, frankly, if he's the backup to Ben and Ben's healthy, no one will fault him for that. If Ben's not healthy, he gets to play with tremendous weapons and play against the Bengals. I kind of love this. I've become in love with the concept of Andy Dalton headed to the Steelers. We'll take more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What do you think is next for Andy Dalton? More of your take coming up. Plus, if the NBA returns to finish their season, which team benefits most from the hiatus? We'll tell you more about it next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News.